Got it all found. This is the English Standard Version. And you were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of our body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And then 8 just happens to be the first verse that I ever memorized as a little kid. So it remains my favorite. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. May the Lord add his blessing to this scripture reading. You may be seated.
Hello. Good morning. Okay, it's good to see you up here on the mountain as we wait for our Creator. Let us pray for guidance. Heavenly Father, we are thankful today to be gathered together in such a beautiful place on this earth, Lord. We are truly thankful for your grace every day, Lord, that your mercies are new towards us. We pray that as we drink from the wellspring of life, Lord, that we may understand what it is you try to tell us about the finer things in life, what it is you try to tell us as you want us to be instructed as we walk through this earth, Lord, and as we come across the dangers that it has for us, God. I pray for each and every individual here that as we hear your word, that we be doers, that we may write it upon our hearts as we leave here, Lord, and that we may hear your call throughout the day, Lord, as your Holy Spirit beckons us to walk into the light and out of the dark. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Today we'll be reading out of James chapter 3. And we are going to read about the role and its seriousness of teachers of the word. And we're also going to learn about the role of the tongue in this life and just how dangerous it can be if left unchecked by the Spirit of God and his holy word applied in our life. Chapter 3, and we'll just read. I like reading all the way through before we start to go into it, just to give us an idea of what it is we're about to get into. Chapter 3, verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness, for we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also, though they are so large and are driven by strong winds. They are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire! And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse the people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So as we start back at the top of chapter 3, verse 1, not many shall become teachers, my brothers. For you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. Verse 2. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body. So we have verse 1. A warning to the real seriousness of a teacher. Or a watchman, as it is called in the Old Testament and other places in Scripture. In Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, Ezekiel was appointed the watchman of Israel. He was told to give people a warning by God so they might repent of the things that God was telling them. And be saved, because how would they know if nobody told them? So God appointed Ezekiel as the watchman. Now, it was such a serious role that the actual watchman of a city is a military term used for a guard, right? The first line of defense. If he didn't see, if he wasn't doing his job, and people came to wipe the people away, there would be no warning. They wouldn't be prepared and they would perish. So God did tell Ezekiel that if he heard God and didn't open his mouth and give warning, that they would perish for not knowing. And in turn, Ezekiel would be required his soul. So it's another picture of the seriousness of the leader or a teacher of God's children, appointed by God. Jesus calls us to be watchful for the time of his return in Matthew chapter 24, verses 42 and 43. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day the Lord is coming. Verse 43. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not let his house get broken into? Hebrews 13:17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will give an account. So, Acts 20, verse 26 and 27. Paul speaks confidently as to his role, as to speaking and proclaiming the word of God to others. And he says, therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all. Verse 27, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Right? He declared with his mouth. And as we move down to verses 3 and 4, if we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. There are many verses in Scripture as to the craziness of the tongue. Psalms 5:9, Psalm 34:13, chapter 52:4, Proverbs 6:17, Proverbs 17:20, Proverbs 26:28, Proverbs 28:23, Isaiah 59:3. These are some examples that I encourage you all to read and look up. We'll go through a few of these right now to give a clearer picture. Psalms 52:4 tells us that the tongue loves all words that devour. That's a serious thing. It enjoys to devour. That is something that I think us who have lived on this earth can see. The tongue is really quick to speak, and in our natural selves, I don't think that it wants to say kind things, right? It just loves to devour. So we walk in the light, and it's the only way that we could kind of get a wrangle on this crazy thing that sets on the entire course of life on fire by the hell itself. And we'll see coming up in verse 6. Psalms 59:13 says, transgressing and denying the Lord and turning back from following our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart lying words. The tongue speaks oppression and revolt. Anything that we speak that is untrue or outside of the character of God, it is a revolt against God himself, against the truth itself. And we could see that we can oppress others, right? To hold them down, right? By the things that we say. So it's another part of the seriousness, the role of the tongue. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 20 tells us, a man with a crooked heart does not discover good, and one with a dishonest tongue falls into calamity. Right? So the tongue, if left unchecked, will lead us into disaster, calamity. We know in Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 and 37, that from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Verse 35, we will give account for every careless word we speak. Verse 37, by our words we will be justified or condemned. It is by our confession before man that we are saved, right? A confession that we are broken and in need of a Savior, Jesus Christ, a Lord and Savior, right? There comes the part where we can control or try to control our tongue through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So it's through the Lordship that we follow and are transformed. The psalmist teaches us in Psalms 34, 11 through 14, the fear of God, and in it is an admonishment to our tongue. Please turn to Psalms chapter 4, and we'll read chapter 34, and we'll read verses 11 and 14. Psalms 34, verses 11 through 14. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. So once again, we are turning away and using the Lordship and the Spirit of God as our power to seek peace and to pursue, right? If we were a car, that would be our fuel. That would be our mode of propulsion. The Holy Spirit of God. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 through 19, half of the things the Lord hates has to do with the tongue, right? Breathing false witness, lying, sowing discord among the brethren. That is all done with our tongue or our voice. It is a breaking down or an oppression that we see the tongue likes to do. Proverbs also tells us in chapter 26, verse 28, a lying tongue hates its victims, and a flattering mouth brings ruin. And as we're back in James, verses 5 and 6, so also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. So imagine the smoke from a fire, a big fire, right? A forest fire, an all-consuming, massive ordeal. For those of us who live in the forest, we can get a picture of what that looks like if we've been here and seen it. Now, the damage from fires is not just from fire, okay? There's a lot of smoke during fire, and it will seep through the smallest crack and enter in to the next area, and the next area, and the next area, and just destroy all sorts of things with just the smoke itself, right? So you have the tongue of fire, right? And you can see that it sets the course of life on fire. So not only does it affect its immediate area, it spreads and affects other things outside of its immediate sphere of influence. So we must be careful to guard our tongue as we walk throughout our daily life, because it's not just where we are in the moment. that it's affecting, but it can leave residual effects. Good and bad, right? People will remember you for the good things you say or the bad things you say. And unfortunately, a lot of times in life, we could see, doesn't matter how many good things you do, people tend to remember the bad a lot easier. And we'll read through verses 7 through 12 now in James chapter 3. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. So we see some more of the joyous natural fruit of the tongue untamed by God. Restless, evil, right? Full of deadly poison. Not just a deadly poison. It's full, overfilling, just ready to give it to you, you know? And that's where God comes in, because he never gives you what you deserve, right? So if we would just use God to control that tongue, we wouldn't give it to people either. Verse 9. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God, right? We praise the Creator, but we curse what He created. That doesn't make any sense. But that's what the tongue will do. Verse 10. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives? Or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. So, we don't want to be a salt pond, right? We want to be fresh water. We want to drink from the fresh word of life, right? The Bible. And in it, we can renew our minds. Verses 13 through 14. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in meekness and wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. Who is wise and understanding among you, right? The Greek word used here for understanding is used only here in the New Testament. It means a specialist or a professional who could skillfully apply his expertise to practical situations. So James is asking us, who is truly skilled in the art of living? Verses 13 and 14 are a contrast between the wisdom of God, verse 13, good conduct with meekness and wisdom. Verse 14. The wisdom of the word of the world, bitter jealousy, selfish ambition, boasting, falsehood. In verse 13, there's a word meekness right there. That's a really good word in the Bible. Meekness, that is the character of Jesus Christ summed up in one word, meekness. Meekness is not weakness, right? Our Lord Christ was not weak, has never been weak. It is not weak now. He is risen. He is alive and well. Meekness means strength under control, right? Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. James tells us in chapter 1, verse 21, therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness, right? with strength and control. Receive with meekness what? The implanted word, which is able to save our souls. Implanted. Implanted where? The heart. Once again, it is from the abundance of our heart, our mouth will speak. Right? Where our treasures are, is where our heart will be. The heart is reserved by God for his searching. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. David tells Solomon to serve God with a whole heart and a willing mind, for God searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you, but if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. And this coincides with James chapter 1, verse 21, receive the implanted word, able to save our souls. James tells us in the preceding verses, verse 19. Sorry. So, what do we do? Right? What do we do? Notice the therefore in James chapter 1, verse 21. James tells us in the preceding verses, verse 19, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, and slow to speak, and slow to anger. Verses 15 through 17 in James chapter 3. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. But the wisdom from above is first pure, right? This is the heart motivation that we ought to have as Christians. Gentle, peaceful, pure, right? Right before. Slow to anger, slow to speak, quick to hear. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and dishonest. And does not swear deceitfully. There's that tongue again. Psalms 24, verses 3 and 4 is where Scripture tells us that. This verse, or control of the tongue and pure heart conditioning, comes with the blessing attached in the very next verse, verse 5. In Psalms chapter 24, verses 3 and 4. The very next verse, verse 5, he will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Right? Able to save our souls. James. Verse 17, full of mercy. We're going to get into the Beatitudes. There's a good parallel here between all of these things. Full of mercy, Matthew 5, 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Impartial and sincere. Or, another word for that is without hypocrisy. The Greek word used here is only used here in the New Testament. And denotes a consistent, unwavering person who is undivided in his commitment and conviction. And does not make unfair distinctions. And now as we come to the last verse in James chapter 3, And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. So, peacemakers, right? That's us. Peacemakers. So instead of running around this earth, allowing our tongue to just devour everything and spread beyond its influence negatively, we are to be peacemakers with our tongue. Because we are sons of God. In closing, positive words are difficult to remember, and negative words are difficult to forget. Let not corrupting talk come out of our mouths, but only such that is good for building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those that hear. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. So, as we close and leave today, I'll tell you, having to humble myself at the foot of the Lord for the last few weeks, I've been able to have to study this. Just studying the tongue and its role, it's just so hard to walk away and not keep a constant watch on your tongue. It's interesting when you're actually keeping a constant watch on something that no man has been able to tame. You start seeing transformation right before your eyes. You really do. So I listed a bunch of verses in the beginning. A lot of them are in Proverbs and Psalms. And that's where I encourage to look up, you know, read one of those a day. Focus on one of those a day and just see what that taming of the tongue with the Holy Spirit will start doing in your life. It's a pretty Herculean thing. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And I thank you for your message. And we thank you for your gift of salvation, God. We thank you for the opportunity to tame our tongue, for the opportunity to be transformed, God, through your word and through your gift. I pray that as our visitors here travel back home, that they may be safe, Lord, that you may protect them, God, from the dangers of these highways, Lord, and the people on them. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.